All right, Acts chapter 9, first six verses. Bible says, meanwhile, say meanwhile, would you? Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Saul, the apostle Saul, is breathing out murderous threats against Christians. He is hunting them down and arresting them. Does that get your attention? All right, here we go. Merciless against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Said Saul. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us. You hear from the Lord? Lord, we thank you that you speak to us and that you redirect our lives, that you appear to us, Lord, on the roads of our lives, Lord, that you can make plain that which we struggle with, that you would glorify yourself among us this morning, Lord, that you would move us along or get us on that road to righteousness that we could spend eternity with you. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. I have told you guys a couple months back about Dante. Dante, a young man we ran into over at the skate park, part of a... I got to come up with the right word on this. Militant. Yes, that's a good word. Militant Hebrew Israelite sect. Now, perhaps you have seen them. Large men, African American men that stand out by the library. Anybody seen them, guys? They are some large men. And you know what? They do not appear to be very happy. No, 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 no. This is their stance, you know. And anyway, I talked to them once, man. I did not get because they had all this Hebrew writing. You know, I can read Hebrew, you know. So I started talking to the guy, and he's, oh, no, no. So anyway, we run into Dante. And it didn't go well. He starts screaming and yelling, and it's just out of control. And I mentioned that to you. It's a couple months back. We ran into Dante again, like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And he's smiling, you know, and he goes, you remember me? And, you know, I kind of took a half a step back. And I said, what's your name, Dante? Oh, yeah, Dante. And he goes, I want to apologize. Hey, okay. Shakes my hand. He goes, I was a little out of it that day. Okay, okay. He goes, but if it's okay, I'd like to ask you one question. And I'm like, no screaming or yelling, right? He goes, no screaming or yelling. And I'm like, okay, man, we're good. We're good, yeah. And so he says, if Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, how does he call Israel his firstborn son? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, and realistically, we're talking about two whole different things. You know, Israel's a nation. You know, it talks about his their position before the Lord, and we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. And so I'm thinking, I said, hey, I go, fine, you know, I don't want to get off track on technicalities here, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, we're talking God the Son, man. We can go God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can talk about Israel, God's firstborn, that he has a position and a plan to reveal himself to the nations through Israel. I'm thinking, man, I can drive a Mack truck through this opportunity to share the gospel. Are you following me? And I'm hearing, as my mind is turning just 1,000 miles an hour, I'm just hearing, technicalities, technicalities. And he was gone. I mean, it was high-pitched screaming and yelling, and we were going nowhere fast. We are talking about the road to righteousness. We talk about the Apostle Paul, who has been on this road for like 20 years now. And Paul, as we read, was working it. He was doing all he could, breathing out those murderous threats, arresting the Christians. He figured that as he had his hand gripped firmly on the law, that made sure that he had his hands gripped firmly on the Lord. But Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, you're headed nowhere fast. And in that instant, who are you, Lord? Paul releases his grip on the law and becomes a person of grace. Amen? God gives him the righteousness, the holiness, the goodness. God gives it as an act of grace, that thing that he had been working his whole life to attain on his own. Amen? All of a sudden, he's not going nowhere fast. The Jews, in the same way, figure that their grip on the law gives them a firm grip on the Lord. That thing, which is intended to give them connection to God, was the very thing that was getting in their way. Are you tracking with me? Now, Jesus comes to the Jews and says, you're headed in the wrong direction. Come with me. I will take you where you need to go. They were headed nowhere fast. They were working their list, but weren't making any progress. Now, we're familiar with people of the list, okay? The law is a list of rules. The Pharisees had taken the Old Testament and codified into 640 rules to obey that you could then make your way to heaven. You might not be, unless of course you listen to my messages over the last 2 months, familiar with the law and the Jews. But we are familiar with people of the list, Jehovah's Witnesses. You better get out on Saturday if you're going to make it to heaven. You see them walking around? You know what I'm saying? Got that Watchtower Bible and Tract that they're always trying to come. We had some come to the house. And Lisa and I have been blackballed. They ain't coming. And we had these two guys come up. It's like, ooh, new ones, you know? Said, sure, you know, come on back. Never came back. Oh, don't go to that house. But people on the list, Mormons. My grandfather was a Mormon. His mother was involved in homesteading in developing Mesa, Arizona for the Mormons. Mormons, don't drink. Don't drink coffee. Don't drink alcohol. No smoking. If you're a man, you have to go out on a missionary trip after you get out of high school. Work the list. You get to heaven. Follow me? Another list is, people of the list is Muslims. That if you pray 5 times a day, if you avoid pork, if you work the list, you can make it to heaven. Now, there are these and there are other religions of the list. And the problem, real problem with these is their list is not even from heaven. It is a great deception of the devil to get people totally focused on a list that they think is going to get them to heaven and is actually headed to hell. Amen? The law of Moses, the list that the Jews had, did indeed come from heaven. Paul tells us that it was sin in each of us that turns it sideways. And so the law comes to the Jews to make them aware of how much they need a Savior. Can I get a witness on that? See, and what I want you to notice today, that a list is not going to get you to heaven. Only the Lord is going to get you to heaven. Amen? headed nowhere fast. We're going to spend our time in Romans chapter 10 today, and I hope that you are heading someplace. Activity, just working, is not going to guarantee that you are working in the right spot. Amen? Brothers, I'll add sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. The Jews are working hard with no reward. Now, Jews and Gentiles can come to agreement, at least on this, that it is the righteous who are going to be saved. Amen? I hope that is you today. I hope you are indeed saved. Now, the Jews are working on their righteousness in the same way that Paul was. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he says, "This isn't working out for you." And in an instant, Paul caught sight of the Lord and was changed. Amen? The Jews are still trying to work it out. Their goal is the righteousness of God, and they are doing all they can to make it work. But it's not working. They're headed nowhere fast. They're so busy working on their own righteousness that Jesus comes and brings a righteousness from heaven, and they miss the whole thing. They are working so hard to get to heaven that they're missing out on God. You see, people work in the list, Mormons, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, other people. They're so focused on their list, they got no connection to God. Amen? God can use that motivation. It's a different message, though. They were so busy trying to please God that they were missing God. Jesus says, "You're heading in the wrong direction. Follow me." And where Paul let his list go, they just grabbed on tighter. A list is not going to get you to heaven. The Lord will get you to heaven. Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. All right? By the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming." We're going to take a look at the differences between the law and faith. Now, the law is given so that the people of God would be different. He says, the man who does these things will live by them. And they are given so the people of God look different than the people that live around them. And I hope that you look different than the people who live around you. Amen? Because you're doing these things. That quote comes from Leviticus 18:5. And Leviticus 18 talks about being different from the Egyptians whom the Israelites had left behind. And it talks about being different from the Canaanites whom the Israelites would run into in the near future. Amen? The man who does these things will live by them, and you will be distinct both from the Egyptians and from the Canaanites, but their sin caused them to be like both, and there was no difference. Now, he quotes, and he moves to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and Paul paraphrases. I'll highlight the area that he paraphrases here. It says, "Do not say in your heart," and it's a paraphrase. It's kind of like he's just saying what is in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, the Jews are saying, "This is too hard, man. We can't figure this out, you know. And say, who's going to go for us? We can't get this." And Moses said, "Man, I got the law right here. It's close." But Paul paraphrases it, and I'm highlighting in yellow the difference. Paul says Christ is the one who brings it near. And he says it's so close, it's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And the question is not how you're going to get it, but the question is what are you going to do with it once you have it? Amen? The man who does these things will live by them. Paul is talking about a righteousness that is acquired by faith. Faith is belief. Faith is trust. Faith is confidence in God. You have saving faith. You have faith. You receive faith to grab onto the message of the gospel. That in itself is a miracle from God. We receive that faith from heaven. It's a miracle of God. A list isn't going to get you to heaven. Only the Lord is going to get you to heaven. Tell you a story about first guy I ever led to the Lord. First guy the Lord ever used me to introduce to himself. Okay? And I was going to Bible college, and one of the secretaries at the school said, hey, I'd like to have you talk to my son. He came back from the military. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll go out and shoot some pool. And so we went out, and he beat me like a drum, you know. But yeah, I've lost a lot of pool games in my day. But we were talking about the Lord and not drinking, not doing anything like that. And I think it was a little different for him. And we're talking, I said, hey, you know, you should come to church with your mom tomorrow. And she went to this Covenant church, and I was doing an internship there. And so in between Sunday school and church, he had come, and they had coffee and donuts and stuff like that. And so we're talking, and his name was Paul. And I said, Paul, you know, we were talking last night, you had a lot of struggle in your life. And I just want to let you know that the Lord would set you free. You know, struggle with military and images like that. Some of you guys struggle in your lives. You can't put your phones down. You can't put sin down. You can't put all that other stuff down. Amen? He said, Paul, the Lord will set you free from your past. You give him your life, he will give you a brand new life. I said, do you want that? Do you want to do that today, right now? And he goes, I think I do. Well, I was totally surprised. I said, okay, this is how you do it. He said, God, I'm so messed up in my life. I want to give you my life. I want to make you my boss. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. I said, you can say that however you want, but you got to mean it in your heart. I said, you pray out loud, and then I'll pray. Say amen when you're done, so I'll know when you're done. So he's praying, he says all that stuff, says amen. He said, Lord, just accept your servant Paul. And in that instant, he was changed, just like the Apostle Paul. Amen? All right. We okay? You tracking? All right, here we go. Salvation is an act of faith. Verses 9 through 12, Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise in Scripture. Amen? Amen? You can bank on that. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Faith is a display of trust. Now, it says, Jesus is Lord. This was the earliest confession of faith in the church. It is a foundation of our being saved. As I told Paul, Jesus is my boss. Whatever he says, that is what I'm going to do. I surrender control of my life to him. We don't have a lot of lords around here, amen? But we do got a lot of bosses, amen? And we can get used to doing whatever the boss says. Getting paid is nice. Can I get a witness? And so as you begin to view your relationship with the Lord, Jesus Christ, the boss, Jesus Christ, what he says in his book, that's how you line up on him. Amen? Display of trust, faith. This is not a formula, okay? Bible says, if you say, Jesus is Lord, right? So perhaps you say, Jesus is my Lord. There's not somebody up in heaven going, ooh, ching. You know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. Oh, no. It's not a formula. It's a confession. It's a proclamation. He says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, now that's a flat-out miracle, folks. This book is filled with miracles. And you know what? God does miracles, and they're not even hard for him. Not even a challenge. And so Jesus died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And in your heart, you can say, I'm going to grab onto that. I'm believing in that. I am trusted in that. You do that, and Jesus' righteousness is applied to your account. You are justified just as if you never sinned. Amen? Amen. You are saved. And you say, saved? Saved from what? You are saved from the judgment of God. List isn't going to do this. Only way to get to heaven is to have the Lord take you there. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Verses 13 through 15. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that, you can underline that, highlight that, memorize that, tattoo it. Don't put it on your forehead. But that's good news, amen? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Anyone can make the change. This is a prayer that can be made by anyone at any time. It is a prayer that immediately goes to the very throne room of God, and every time it gets there, it is answered with a yes. But this is not a prayer that everybody, that anyone can make. If you're going to make this prayer, it is because God is doing a work. We talked last week about God calling us. Amen? You are going to make this prayer in faith, believe it in your heart. It is because God has started a work in you and has given you the faith to grab on him. Amen? Now, you get the option of whether or not you're going to exercise that or not, but you don't have an option of whether or not you're going to get it or not. If you're going to pray this prayer, you must have an accurate target. The Muslims, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they are working their hearts out, getting nowhere fast with an inaccurate target. Amen? They are not making it. They are not going to get there. Message of salvation needs messengers. How can they call upon the one of whom they have not heard? Every new believer becomes a display of the saving power of God. That's why he said, declare it with your mouth. Because when he comes into your life, transforming your heart and soul, you are supposed to put it on blast for heaven. God has changed me. Amen? That's how they get the message, and that is how they are transformed. Amen? This is more than a preacher behind a pulpit. This is a family of God kind of thing. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, we're going to baptize you. And we got a baptism coming up right back here, someplace behind this curtain, is our baptismal. And if you have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call out to God to be saved today, you need to get baptized. Amen? Anybody can make the change. Anybody can make the call with the power of God. It's a great message. It's a message you need to get, and it's a message you need to tell. Amen? One thing about the disciples of Jesus, good-looking feet. Amen? I went to, I got a new doctor a couple months back, and diabetes doctor, and because I got diabetes, and he says, first initial consult, whatever you look, you know, eval, checkup. He says, take off your shoes and take off your socks. And diabetics, they have circulation issues. I guess we have circulation issues. And get problems with your feet. And so I take off my shoes and I take off my socks. And, you know, I'm getting ready to lift up my feet. He says, I don't got to touch them. I can tell you got good feet because I can tell by your skin. You got some good-looking feet. Family of God's got good-looking feet. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Last thing I got. Gospel is an offer of salvation. The gospel is an offer of salvation. Verses 16 and 17. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 600 years before, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Jews struggle with the change. Jesus, Isaiah asked the question, who believed our message? And the Jews were struggling with hardness in the time of Jesus, and they're struggling with hardness all along their walk. Israelite means he wrestles with God. Isaiah, when he was called, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, God says, it's going to be a rough hoe, road of hoe for you. Go and tell these people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Ever seeing but never perceiving. Why? Because their hearts were hard to God. And as time went on, that hardness continued. But the message of God continues to go out. The quote that we have from that Paul uses here comes from Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah is talking about the coming Messiah. Famous text out of, I mean, all of 53 is quite memorable. But perhaps you memorize or identify this. He was pierced for our transgressions. Have you heard that one before? By his wounds, I'm sorry, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought peace on us was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. 600 years. The Jews are waiting for a Messiah. And when Jesus shows up, they missed him. They were so busy working their list. They were so busy working their righteousness that when the righteous of God comes, they missed him. They crucified him. Only Jesus is going to get you to heaven. That's a problem for the Jews. They are headed nowhere fast. Amen? Last thing, verses 18 through 21. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And again I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Message goes out and the Jews say no. Went out to the Jews in the form of Jesus is ministry, his message, for 20 years following, it went out through the Apostle Paul. Church started on the day of Pentecost. It was 100% Jewish. Every person in that first church movement was a Jew. And then as time goes on, there is a hardening that happens in the Jews. And less and less and less as a percentage of Christians are Jewish, and more and more and more become Gentile. You can see this if you read the book of Acts, following from chapter 9, that as Paul goes through his missionary journeys, always, every place he stops, the first place he goes is to the Jews. The first place he goes is to the synagogue. And realistically, his first message, they go, man, this guy is good. We got to pay attention to this. But then the second time and the third time, all the leaders of the synagogue are going, no, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy. And he's attacked and he's persecuted and arrested and all this stuff. And so Paul is persecuted as he was persecuting Christians by the very people he wanted to see so much receive the Lord and to be saved. An obstinate people. A rebellious people. In God's great mercy, he holds back on his righteous judgment against the Jews, giving them opportunity that runs through today to repent and to be saved. And as he is holding back on that judgment against the Jews, he is extending an offer of salvation to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, as you see also going through Cornelius' house and through all the various people that are receiving the Lord in the book of Acts, they're saying, we'll take that deal. We will take that deal. We can hear it, we can understand it, and we can accept it. Amen? And so God does this as a message to the Jews, because as the Gentiles receive the message of salvation, they begin to move into the favored position with God. And so the Jews have the law of Moses, which shows them how much they need a Savior, and they have the Gentiles in their position that makes them jealous. And what do? They just grab tighter and tighter to the list. This isn't going to get you to heaven. Only the Lord will get you to heaven. Amen? Road to righteousness. Gail, you want to come and play? I hope you're on it. Paul makes it so clear. Jesus Lord, confess it with your mouth. Believe in your heart that he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. And God himself will place you on the road to righteousness. I remember in my life, I was walking down the road in Sacramento. And I was full of arrogance and pride. Figured all was good, that I had my hand, you know, what little I was concerned about God, that I was good with God, that he was good with me. But my life was chewing me up. And I said, as I walked down the street in Sacramento, I said, God, you can have my life, because I have destroyed it. And in an instant, I felt the Holy Spirit come into me, and I was changed, just like Paul. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning about being changed? Is the Lord speaking to you about the road to righteousness and being on it or getting on it or making progression? Because Jesus will get you on that road, and the Holy Spirit will keep you on it, and the Father is waiting there at the end of the road. Amen? It's the place you want to be. You don't want to be headed nowhere fast. You want to be headed to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave me the faith to grab onto you 25, 30 years ago, and walking down the road in Sacramento, that you gave the Apostle Paul the ability to grab onto you walking down the road to Damascus. And my friend Paul, right before church there in Santa Cruz. And in an instant, we were changed. Are you hearing from the Lord this morning? It's time for you to be changed, that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and find a whole new life. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. You say, Lord, that's what I want. Just like Paul said, yeah, I want to do that. You want to do that today? Yeah, I want to do it today. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you're saying, yes, I want to be changed today. I'd just like to have you slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I want to have new life in the Lord. Over here, anybody else say, that is me this morning. Anybody else say, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's all we're going to do this morning. Anybody else? I assume, I trust, and I hope that the rest of you are on track with Jesus. And that this morning, that we can all, with our mouth, confess and say, Jesus is Lord. Would you do that with me? And you who raised your hand, you want to be transformed in your life, you can join those people that are on the road to righteousness, and you can say with each of us, Jesus is Lord. Repeat that with me, if you would. Jesus is Lord. How do you say that, Pastor Carlos, in Spanish? Hey, say that again. All right, you got that in Spanish. One, two, three. Well, if you don't speak Spanish, you have to go there. That was just in case. Believe it in your heart. God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You will be transformed. As I was changed in an instant, as Paul was changed in an instant, as the Apostle Paul was changed in an instant, you are being changed right now, lined up on the Lord, headed down the road to righteousness. Amen?